Good morning and welcome in to the Blitz live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. 10:03 a.m. on this Wednesday morning. It's a nice one here in Knoxville, a little chilly, but we're set up for a beautiful day. It's a beautiful week. It's Tennessee LSU week. Feels like this week is especially taking forever, Andy, after how quick the bye week flew by. But Charlie Collier, Andy Brock to my left, Sam Beard back behind the board. So we get you to your lunch break here on this Wednesday. And yeah, really just crawling along this week. I thought yesterday was Wednesday roughly 17 times. And each time was just a little bit more disappointed than last to find out it was not.
I don't know why that is. Why does it feel that way? Is it because there's a game on Saturday? Is that
the reason? Maybe it's because we had the bye week too, so you're having to wait.
It's an extra amount of time now, but like last week did go by very fast.
Maybe it's
now
just
here
balance.
We are. I don't know, because it does feel that way. But then also you look down, and you're like, how is it October 5th?
Yeah, no, that's the really weird.
That one's the scary part. But
when we're like, man, there's only one undefeated team left in the NFL, and like, I was scrolling through preseason like training camp notes to figure out who to draft in the 13th round of my fantasy draft like 2 days ago.
Yeah, comes at you fast.
How are you this morning, Andy?
Great. I'm feeling good. I kind of like that this week is going slow. It's building up nice in anticipation. I didn't like how fast last week was. This feels like a nice, a proper build up. You know, you got to have that proper build up. Getting close to that final 48 hours, ready to lock in. Yeah, I've got no complaints from yesterday. Everything's sitting good. What about you, Charlie?
What, we're 28 hours away?
28 hours away from 48 hours away. Yeah.
So 26 hours, we got to focus up.
Yeah. No, I like this slow build. I'm not going to lie. I kind of appreciate a good build up, and that's what it feels like. A proper build up.
Proper build.
For a proper game.
Is this game proper?
I think it's a proper game. You know what I realized yesterday? That the last three times that Tennessee and LSU played at Tiger Stadium, it came down to the final play.
The last three.
The last three times Tennessee and LSU played in Baton Rouge, it came down to the final play.
What were the other two besides?
I don't know. I saw that stat on the Tennessee football's website, so you know it's accurate. But obviously the too many men on the field, and then LSU scores on the final play. Heartbreak. That was the last time. And then the other ones must have been in like early 2000s. Tennessee won last in 2005. So last three times,
I hope it
came down to the final play.
Saturday.
Well, yeah, no, you hope it doesn't. It doesn't need to come down.
I prefer we don't come down to the last play on Saturday for my health.
Yeah, no, you hope that you can turn off the TV in the fourth quarter, as we were mentioning. And
hey, is this a trap game?
No, I don't think it's a trap game because I think everyone's taking it pretty serious.
Because I've heard some people nationally call this a trap game.
I don't think the only top 25 game in the SEC can be considered a trap game. Maybe if you're going on the road to like Mississippi State, Auburn, I don't know, game.
But like, just maybe.
I don't see how this can be a trap game because
I see both sides of it. Like the fact that it's a noon game and the fact that maybe. I think that there's a general expectation, at least among our fan base, that you're going to win this football game, and everyone's starting to look towards Alabama. Like people, like players and people in the community, they understand what the conversation is, and yeah, I think there's a ton of buildup for this game, but I think all week, really for 2 weeks, there's also been the conversation of undefeated for Bama.
Well, yeah,
biggest game ever, 3:30 CBS. Could game day?
Well, that's just because they drop the time. You know, they always drop the time right. 2 weeks ahead, so you're always looking 2 weeks ahead.
And the fact that too, you know, it is again a noon game. I don't know. Maybe it has some elements of a trap game.
I think it's a little trappy. it's got a couple booby traps set in there.
You're going to be there, Sam.
I will be there, yeah.
So you're going to have to let us know if it feels like a trap or not.
Yeah.
Is there any way to like redirect the trap if you get there and you notice it?
That's a good question. I feel like that's a skill that you have to have, you know, in combat. For our team, you know, if we start feeling out some traps, I think we got to throw a couple down ourselves. I don't know. It's given me like I said it yesterday. It's kind of given me a little bit of a feel like the Pittsburgh game, where you know that you should win the game on paper. You're a better team on paper. Like, all signs are pointing towards you winning this game, but it's just going to kind of be like a. It's just going to get ugly. It's going to get gritty. I think we can pull out gritty
wins. We've seen
in
college football this year, winning on the road is just really hard.
Yep. Yep.
And that's like you see Missouri, take Georgia to the fourth quarter with a lead. Like, you see Utah get beat by Florida on the road. Like, you see Alabama go on the road and escape with a one-point victory over Texas. Like, you see Kentucky go on the road, lose to Ole Miss. It's very hard to win on the road for whatever reason. So, I don't know. I'm starting to get maybe a little nervous for Saturday. I go back and forth between unwavering confidence and completely wavered nervousness.
You want a history lesson? I figured out what the other final
plays
were.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So, of course, the too many men on the field. Mm-hmm. That one happened.
Shout out there, Dooley.
2005, top 10 matchup. 10 Tennessee, 3 LSU, 30-27 in overtime. Tennessee at one point in that game was down 24-7 in the fourth quarter. Ended up going to overtime. Gerald Riggs, 1-yard touchdown for the win. Shout out Gerald Riggs.
Riggsy.
That was against the Jamarcus Russell and Joseph Addai LSU team. And then the other one was in 2000. LSU beat Tennessee in Baton Rouge 38-31 in overtime under new head coach Nick Saban.
Nick.
That man just...
He's just there.
He's just always
like
there.
He's like a ghost in our... He's just...
In the darkest of timelines.
Mm. So, yeah, last three games between Tennessee and LSU and Baton Rouge have been thrillers. Granted, I think, LSU was a top 10 team for two of those three, and then Nick Saban was the coach the other time, but... Still, you expect it to be a pretty competitive game no matter what.
Sam, how are you today?
I'm feeling pretty good. Getting ready for this trip.
You're on what, fall? I just found out you guys are on
fall
break.
Is it fall break?
Yeah, it's like, well, not now, but we got
but
one
on
more
Thursday.
Day of class, basically, and yeah.
Yeah, they were telling me, they were like, oh, yeah, restaurant might not be too busy Wednesday night. It's fall break. And I was like, oh, what?
Isn't that unfortunate that you just don't get a fall break anymore, You just like,
yeah, why,
that doesn't even like you don't think
why
about
do they
it.
Condition us to just
yeah.
get fall breaks?
They should
it's
do breaks
nice.
In
for like
in
for
adult
like
22
life.
Years.
Nice.
They just make you think that like life just yeah, we got fall break.
And there's a week in the spring where you just get to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just like a couple days they just throw in.
Then
you
don't get to do that
year
again until
just...
you have children and they get to go do their week on the
true.
Beach and then, you get to use up all your sick days to like probably hate your life as you try to wrangle 7-year-olds at like the beach.
It's all up from here. It's all up from here,
man.
That's so. Is it Thursday, Friday's fall break or Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday.
Okay, nice.
Yeah,
I had a dream last night. I became a father. It was weird.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
would you like to expand on that? Or
I think I like adopted like a 4-year-old in my dream. I don't know why.
Through adoption, that's good.
That's a wild dream.
But, like,
honestly.
In my current state, too, like, as a 23-year-old.
Do you think you could take care of a 4-year-old kid right now?
If someone gave me the financial backing, then I could. But if I had to financially be responsible for myself and a 4-year-old, absolutely not.
Are we going
to
put this on the punishment wheel?
Adopt a kid? Foster a kid.
Or just look after, like, someone's, like, nephew for
just like a
we'll
week.
Get,
for
we'll
a
get
week.
Logan in here. You can just, like,
yeah.
you can be. You
Logan, we're going to need to borrow your son.
Yeah, no, I don't
one
think,
week.
Don't worry.
I think if you
it's
went
on
through.
The wheel. It's on the wheel.
I don't know if you get approved if you went through the adoption circuit.
You have to sign up to be a foster parent?
I don't know. I don't know if you'd get approved.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you're heading down to Baton Rouge. You're making the trip tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
Early you guys morning. Going to New Orleans first? Going to NOLA?
Yeah, we're going to New Orleans for one day and then going to Baton Rouge. Got one of my roommates has some buddies down in New Orleans, so it should be a good time.
It's like a pretty cool random thing to just have buddies. And I feel like no one just has buddies in New
yeah,
Orleans.
Yeah, honestly.
Anyone
I was
know
like,
anyone in New Orleans?
Like people just like, oh, yeah, I know someone in Austin. Yeah, I got a guy in Atlanta. Like, oh, I got some people in Nashville. I don't think I've ever once heard someone be like, yeah, I got some guys in New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just beware.
It's working.
It is sticky.
Yeah, I'm not exactly excited for the weather.
Oh, I just meant like the city itself.
You just
is
meant
sticky.
Like physically sticky.
Like like any chair around.
Like imagine the entire city of New Orleans has basically just been like coated in a dum-dum that's been like licked twice and then just rubbed on the city. Like I imagine that that's how New Orleans was created, just by nothing but like construction workers who had really sticky fingers, and that's why everything there is sticky. But everything there is very sticky. That is my like just like lasting memory. I remember going to like the steakhouse or whatever, the sports bar that Arch Manning owns. And I remember my dad leaving his debit card there, and I remember how sticky it was. And those are just like my two impressions from New Orleans.
All right, I'll make sure to not leave my debit card on the table.
Yeah.
It might just get stuck.
That was a really cool sports bar though, so I do recommend that.
Okay. What was the name of it?
I don't know.
I'll just look up Archie.
I'm sure you can find it that way. I think I've heard. I can't confirm that this is true. This is just all intuition here. But I feel like I've heard more people going to this Tennessee away game than I've heard in a very, very long time, at least since I've been in Knoxville.
Yeah, there seems like a lot of people to go. I think it's nice that it falls on the fall break. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of students will be going down.
Which,
there.
Like, granted, like, again, the 4 years that I was in school was some of our worst football in a four-year stretch in the history of this program. But, I remember going to, like, an Alabama game and to, like, a Florida game both in, like, the same year maybe. And they were like, hey, man, this is, like, the worst we've ever seen Tennessee's traveling section. Like, I was in the first row, and there were only, like, three more rows behind me at Alabama. And I was like, this is bad. Like, I've never seen this few people make the effort to go to an away game. So, like, I also have my perception maybe a little warped. But, I'm talking to people all week that, like, I don't even know watched Tennessee play football. That are like, yeah, I'm going to Baton Rouge.
Tennessee sold out there.
It's like, do you even go to the home games? No.
It's just the first time you've had that option in so long, so you might as well go.
I really want to. Like, I wish.
And
I
it's
could.
Like New Orleans is there, so that's just the appeal. Everyone is going to flock.
I know
there
a lot
first.
Of people driving too.
Yeah,
it doesn't
We're driving.
Yeah, that doesn't.
It's
sound
a haul.
Fun at all.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, how long of a drive is it? 9 hours?
No, longer than that, right?
It's about nine.
Okay,
that's the drive to Gainesville. That's better than I thought. That's not bad. Like the Gainesville drive's not a bad one.
Tennessee sold out of their allotted like tickets for this game. I mean, we're gonna have.
Are you sitting in the Tennessee like student section?
No, I'm just.
Just buy some tickets.
Yeah, just up in the.
Are you in an LSU section? Predominantly LSU.
Is there a part of you that's a little nervous about sitting in the upper deck of Tiger Stadium?
I think it's kind of fun.
Like, what do you mean?
Like,
why would I be nervous?
Just about the opposing fans.
No.
Are you gonna be one of those that are like, I'm not gonna wear an overwhelming amount of orange? Some people are like, you know,
I've heard
to a visiting
like,
stadium,
neutrals.
Especially like an LSU, you wear.
I wear orange. And I dare you to throw pee on me.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
back
you to
down.
Mess with me.
I mean,
I own you.
sorry for rooting for my team. Like, you can't kick me out of your stadium.
They're very ruckus.
I've heard that. Yeah, there's some.
They'll chase you out.
There's some well, throwing of liquids that, and such. There's all kinds of things that happen there.
It'll be fine.
I feel like you're safe
winning.
With the noon game.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's just kind
of. I mean, they're just going to. Yeah, the stench of corn dogs will be a little extra, I think, probably. Just, you know, if you mix in, like, maybe it's too early for some people to shower. Like, maybe you got some hangovers. But other than that, like, I think it'll be a lot less rowdy.
Yeah, I think that noon game is a big advantage for us, like fan base wise. Like that place could get rowdy if it was a later.
Still will,
later
I
game.
Think, but
it
not
will,
to
but
the same extent.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sam gone. The remainder of this week, your last day here, you're gonna have to leave us some fact or fiction questions in an envelope though, or else you're not allowed to go. Those are the rules.
Okay.
A little homework for fall break.
So Sam will not be here the rest of the week. Which means...
It's just going to be me tomorrow.
Means the one-chip challenge is going to be delayed.
Okay, we're just going to delay it.
Yeah,
I
want
to
see this.
It's fine.
I want
to a couple things. Sam wants to be there for it.
Yeah.
But then also, I would guarantee pretty much that I'm going to have to miss at least one segment, maybe two.
Yeah.
And I can't just like leave you sitting in a room alone. So
I can do it. I can do it if you want.
We're going to... I would love to hear what you would come up with for a couple seconds.
I'd have a great time. Get everyone to call in.
Yeah.
It would be very funny just seeing a blank desk over there and Andy behind the board just controlling everything and trying to host the show.
The background, like, you can just faintly hear projectile vomiting.
Yeah. So when is it going to be early next week? You're going to do it Monday?
We can go Monday.
Start off the week.
We can celebrate Columbus Day with a one-chip challenge.
That's what he would have wanted.
Nice.
Or Indigenous People's Day. Your pick, really. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure story now with holidays. You just get to pick which one you celebrate. But yeah, so we'll do that Monday. I'm scared, boys. I really am. I'm not even just like a little nervous. Like, I'm full on scared.
Yeah, I think this chip is going to take a toll on you mentally. Being like, just it arriving tomorrow.
It arrives today.
It arrives today, and you're going to
be there when I get home.
You're going to stare at that thing from Wednesday to Monday.
That's why I was kind of excited to just do it tomorrow and have that be over with.
You might need to just put it away for the weekend.
Like, I might just not get it out of the
mail. Does it go stale? Like, how do you tend to it?
It's sealed.
It's sealed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's good.
It's boxed and sealed.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if it wasn't, you know, it'd just be a danger to the mailman. How hot it is. But I'm getting nervous. Like,
I've seen so much content of this chip since we talked about it on Monday. I've seen it all over, like, social media. Maybe it already was, and I just, like, didn't know what it was. But now I'm like, seeing this chip everywhere. Like, people struggling with it. Some people eating six at a time.
Last night I just went on TikTok and I typed in the search bar one chip challenge and I just scrolled and I just didn't know this
was a thing.
I should not have done that.
No.
I saw people that were like going to the ER. Like I saw people that were just crying and throwing up and even people that would like that would claim to be pro spice. Like, I saw one guy that was like, yeah, man, like, I love, like, the hottest wings. Like, I eat them for fun. And then he put it in his mouth and, like, 30 seconds later was dumping milk on his face and body. So I'm nervous. But, yeah, just some housekeeping. That'll be delayed till Monday. Sam will be out the rest of the week. But we're off and rolling here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We'll talk baseball on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Sweet singers on the front. Cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly, red blue lights flash out from behind. Back here on the Blitz. And before we talk baseball, I do just want to recognize the boat. Blake Bortles has retired from the NFL.
No way.
The best kind of Blake. One of the more enjoyable, I think, personalities we've had at the quarterback position in the last decade or so. A guy that bought himself a Tesla just so he'd have to stop going to the gas station and maybe he'd quit dip. Guy that during a presser one time was like, yeah, my Wi-Fi went out. Forgot how much that sucks. I played darts by myself for an hour and a half. I love Blake Bortles. Always have, always will.
I can't believe I didn't see this.
Yeah. Happy trails, boat.
Mm.
Best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the 2022 MLB playoff field is set. Apologies to the baseball world, but my MLB worst Washington Nationals could not make anything interesting. Instead, we promptly got swept by the Mets yesterday in a doubleheader, and we moved to 55-106.
You made it kind of close, though. You made the Braves have to win a game against the Marlins, so you kept things interesting.
Well, the Marlins made the Braves have to win a game against the Marlins. We just lost. We just lost.
You don't have to tell yourself that.
Yeah.
You were keeping baseball fans on their toes.
And then I had to, like, see the tweets that were like, yeah, you know, shy of 3 years ago, the Nationals won the World Series. And now
it happens, you know.
Now, less than 3 years later, the season ends with them having the worst record in the MLB. No Juan Soto, no Trey Turner, no Steven Strasburg, no Max Scherzer, no Anthony Rendon. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, guys, can we just leave me alone? Do I have to keep hearing this? But, yeah.
It's so hard to repeat and have so much success. Like, that's what makes what the Braves are doing pretty cool. Like, it's just very rare.
I feel like it's maybe hard to repeat, but it's like not as hard to like not be
sustained,
the worst team in baseball a couple years later.
Yeah, that is a dramatic turn.
I think really that's almost impressive that we were able to do that, to both lose every ounce of talent from that team and have the worst record in baseball. Very impressive. But I'll quit talking about the worst team in baseball because it's time to start talking about the best teams in baseball. Today, day 162, unfortunately, though, we won't really have any drama as the playoff field's been set in the American League. Your byes, the Astros and the Yankees, which sets us up. The Seattle Mariners are at the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Tampa Bay Rays are at the Cleveland Guardians. The wild card series, it's a three-game series. They're all in the same ballpark, so no travel.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's all in Toronto and all in Cleveland?
All in Toronto,
wow,
and all in Cleveland.
Okay.
There will not be any reseeding either. So the winner of Rays-Guardians will take on the Yankees. The winner of Mariners-Blue Jays heads to Houston.
I kind of like that.
I do too.
What the NFL does the reseeding thing where like the worst team.
Yeah, and I think like hockey did, still does, did. You're like, I've never been a fan of reseeding.
Yeah, it just confuses me, honestly.
I mean, I think it makes it's, like, you, like, it's not want, super yeah. confusing. I just like I think, hey, you get what you get. You line it up and you get what you get.
And also,
when you
I feel
at
like
the AL,
Yankees and Rays, like if that's kind of a matchup I feel like people want to see.
Yankees and Rays.
Because if they did the reseeding, like if the Rays win, then they play the Astros.
Yeah, no, I want to see Yankees Rays. I want to see Mariners Astros too.
Yeah,
I want to see the Mariners make a run for sure.
I want to see the Mariners make a run.
It's America's team.
On the National League side of things, the Dodgers and your Braves get a bye. The Padres head to New York and the Phillies head to St. Louis. So I guess we'll start on the NL side of things, just kind of taking a look at the playoffs in general. First of all, I think this Braves team is even better than the team that just won a World Series last year, and that's kind of terrifying to think about. I mean, when you set up this Braves team in the playoffs, like I think I don't really know who can beat them. I mean, you just saw them sweep the Mets in a three-game series. And that was having to face, you know, two of the top pitchers. Like, that's somewhat similar to, like, what you'll see in the playoffs. So I feel like the Braves might be the hardest team to beat. I feel like they have the best roster, or at least the better roster than they did a year ago. But I still have this gut feeling that the Cardinals are going to win the World Series. I keep just like feeling like we're going to get that moment.
Just with how perfect it is with Albert and Yachty and Wainwright.
It feels perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like you're just going to get that like storybook ending right off into the sunset. But whatever happens in that Phillies-Cardinals series, I think we need to be paying attention either way. Because I'll tell you this. Over the past 100 years, the surest sign of economic downturn has been a Philly-based baseball team winning the World Series.
Really?
It happened in 1929, 1930, 1980, and 2008, the latest, you know, crash of the economy.
Yeah. Wow.
The Phillies clinched a playoff berth.
Back in the hunt.
And just so happens to be the economy is looking really fragile right now.
You know, I don't know much about the economy. But
I don't either, but I hear people complain
it's always
about
fragile.
It quite a bit.
Always
being
fragile.
I think we might even be in like a full downswing.
We were for sure in the summer. I don't know where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't call me an economist.
Yeah, me neither.
But just saying.
Definitely something to watch.
Either Team of Destiny and the Cardinals.
I will say they don't have Ryan Howard.
Economic Team of Destiny and the Phillies.
I feel good that they don't have Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins.
But who do you got winning that series? Padres Mets, Sam?
The Padres.
You got the Padres all going right into New York?
Yeah, I just think this
long
Mets team
away
is kind of, I don't know, I think they're a little bit dead inside now that they didn't win that division. I'm not going to lie. I think they're just a little bit checked out, maybe. Like I think that this Padres team is excited to to get back into the postseason and try and make something happen with a with an improved roster. And I think this Mets team is kind of feeling sorry for themselves about losing that division.
Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Corso.
I think the Mets, I think they'll win that division. You know, the Padres are a good team. They have a lot of talent, and I think their time will come. But I still think the Mets have a lot of momentum from this year, and who knows? I think they could be the other way. They could be angry that they didn't win the division, and, you know, they're at home. They'll have, you know, a fan base who's hungry for postseason success. I think they'll get up for this series following the disappointment, at least. But, you know, unfortunately, they're not going to get the bye. I think they're going to be wishing they had the bye. But I think they're going to maybe set the tempo for what their postseason could be in this series. I think it's hard for a San Diego team to have to travel all the way across the country for three games. I didn't know it was going to be no travel like that. That's really tough. That makes it a lot harder on these underseeded teams to win a series, because you got to win two games on the road. And that's like, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
You know, there's kind of this whole narrative right now, I think, that, oh, the Mets collapsed again. You know, typical Mets collapse. They won 100 games.
Yeah, they're a good
team.
Like,
this was not a Mets collapse that we're used to. Like, it wasn't like everyone got hurt and they fell out of the playoffs. No, they lost their division by one game.
Yeah.
To
one game.
The reigning World Series champions and the third
really
best team in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's the same Mets collapse. So I think that they, you know, unless their fan base completely just crumbles and you can, I mean,
just sense defeat.
You can just sense defeat. Like,
there can't
the
be
stadium
any of that.
Itself. Like, unless that happens, I think the Mets gather, exhale, and
man,
win a baseball game.
There's nothing better than October baseball. There really isn't.
I'm very excited.
I love October baseball.
It's time to get
it's
back
cold.
Into baseball.
Think about it. Either way, I mean, you could get Braves versus Dodgers, Game 7. Freddie Freeman switches teams mid-game, goes back to Atlanta somehow in the middle of a
Disney pivot. Movie.
His kids doing the chop on in the stands.
He's up to bat. Bottom of the ninth. Dodgers down a run.
Yeah.
Bases loaded, and he's got thoughts swirling in his head. He looks into the stands. It's a rowdy sea of Dodgers fans, and he sees his son. They lock eyes, and he gives him one small Braves chop. He winks
think
at his
about
son,
the storylines.
And he intentionally strikes out, and then he celebrates with the Braves in the dugout.
Oh. Or, I mean, any Mets versus Braves NL Championship Series is going to be unreal. Like, imagine the scenes. I, you know.
Which means that we're just going to end up with what? Like,
we're
going to
end up with the
somehow.
Phillies and the, in the Padres. Yeah. Well, it'll be fun in its own right, but.
Who you got coming out of the Phillies Cardinals series?
I got the Cardinals in that one. I think you're right. I think the Cardinals are a team that's getting hot, and I think that lineup is really dangerous. I think that's probably the one that I'm looking most forward to watching, though, is that Phillies and Cardinals series. That's just two teams that are kind of. They're playing their best baseball at the right time, it seems like, and I think it's going to be just a clash of two really hot teams coming into each other. No, I'm just right. I just love October baseball. I mean, it doesn't
so good.
Just fires you up.
Special.
I love seeing a good baseball uniform like the Red Sox. They just got a great uniform, great colors with the long sleeves. They're all wearing like their cold weather gear.
Yeah,
you see Giancarlo Stanton with a full on like ski mask on just because. That's just it makes him good, I guess. Like in the cold, he's bundled up.
There's something about just seeing cold fans like in the stadium, and it's just like you see everyone's like breath coming out.
It is so funny too, because like most of the baseball season is very warm weather, and then you get to the most important part.
Yeah,
it's
the
freezing
World Series
cold.
Game I went to was pretty nice temperature.
Okay,
I wore
that's
like
good.
A lightweight like.
So you went to the World Series that year? That's awesome.
I spent every dollar I had. It was
awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Great experience.
Which game was it?
I went to the first one.
Okay,
so game three, like the first one.
I couldn't tell you
stadium.
What happened. I mean, there were seven games.
We lost.
Yeah.
Only the road teams won in the World Series in that series.
I forgot about that.
But I was the very first one in the stadium. I was first in line at the gate that opens first. I had, by the time they were ready to open the gates, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people behind me, but I was the very first one in the stadium.
I love that. Dude, I would be so giddy to go to a World Series game for your own team.
I didn't even care. Like, the entire time, like, I was just like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, so me being a Red Sox fan, when they won it in 2018, I was going to go to Game 6 if needed in Game 6 and Game 7 in Boston, but they won it in 5.
Sam, did you make it to any Braves games last year playoff-wise?
No.
You should try this year.
Yeah, I should.
You should just find a way.
Yeah, go to the
sell some plasma.
The divisional series.
It's fine. They got a place.
The divisional series shouldn't be
it's
like
safe.
It's right down the road.
Yeah, no, actually. It's like a mile from me. It's very safe. Who you got? Phillies, Cardinals.
Cardinals. Yep.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals too, but I think I would pick this Phillies team if they were playing the Padres or the Mets. I just really like this Cardinals team.
Yep.
Who comes out of the NL for you?
Just in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sam, you contemplating?
Contemplating, man.
So you'll have the winner of Phillies Cardinals against the Braves, and you'll have the winner of Padres Mets against the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think, man, it's so tough. I really want to say if the Cardinals beat the Phillies, I will say the winner of the Braves and Cardinals, I think. But if the Phillies win that series, I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
Well, I guess I'll give you that as an acceptable answer.
It doesn't
okay.
really apply.
Fine. Andy?
Mets.
Got the Mets?
Mets, World Series bound.
Mets,
that
World Series
That offense has been
bound.
So cold, Andy. So cold.
It's time to get hot.
It's the postseason.
It's the postseason.
I got the Cardinals beating the Dodgers in the NLCS. And I got the Cardinals in the World Series. Albert Pujols last ride.
I'm basically picking this one. The reasons why I picked the Mets is, one, I just really want to see a Mets-Braves championship series. And I just think it's really hard to make a World Series in back-to-back years. I mean, we've seen it. The Astros and the Dodgers have done it. So, I don't know. I think the Braves have what it takes, but I'm not going to pick them. Mets.
By the way, shout out Aaron Judge.
Shout out. He did it.
All it took was me saying that he wouldn't.
Did you say that yesterday, he wouldn't do it?
Yeah, even I took his under.
No.
Except I might have taken his under
in game
one. It was
like a third pitch of the game, too.
I might have taken his under in game one because they played a doubleheader yesterday. So I don't remember which game I took the under in. But, yeah, I took the under 0.5 home runs. And instead,
he hit a full home run.
It's a full home run.
Did you see the guy jump over the...
Didn't even catch it.
Didn't even
Instead,
get close.
Instead, I saw some, like, multimillionaire was the one that caught it.
Oh, really?
So I guess he, like, doesn't even need it.
Doesn't even need
it. Back.
He's the vice president of some, like, investment firm that manages $197 billion.
Oh.
I mean, that just pissed me off,
yeah,
honestly.
Like, he could just keep it in his office and
I
not even
it. I need to be,
it.
Like, a recently retired mailman that catches it. That's
yeah, like, been, I wanted
so what's
somebody...
Like the,
for 40 years.
What's, like, the strategy on that? Because I know some people were saying it could go for $2 million now. But if you save it for, like, a couple of years,
the
then it could go more.
I'm not saving a starting pitcher
but it,
for
no,
Game 7.
Not,
you got to get through Game
obviously
6.
Obviously, if either one of us caught it, we'd go ahead and take the $2 million. But, like, for a guy like that who's already in a good spot.
I mean, if it's a guy like that, I'm just keeping it forever.
You
I'm
hold
just,
it, yeah.
A big F you to
you
birds
you
up
keep
to the
it,
rest of the world.
You keep
like,
it in your
I have
office.
All the money I need. Now I have this priceless piece
just
of
just let it, mobile. Yeah, and let it, like, grow in value. You're just, like, being smart with it.
Or you could just give it back to Aaron Judge.
True, you could do that, but... Does he need it? What's Aaron Judge going to do with it?
Display it proudly and cherish it forever.
Aaron Judge probably already got 61, so he's got
I
that
would
one.
Sell it to Aaron Judge for like 1% of his next contract.
You let me
Which
be
is
your,
probably 2
let
million.
Me, let
so.
Me be your agent and I'll give you the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Let me negotiate your next contract and
no,
I'll give you 62 ball over.
You should, yeah, you could get, you got to give it to the Yankees as long as they make you like a part of their front office and you like are a paid member of their organization. Like you get a salary from them.
I would be asking for absurd things if I ever got one of those.
Like,
I would get
it,
a
salary, I want,
tickets for years.
I want the option
New York
to
penthouse
be able to make
every home
one
game.
Trade a decade.
One trade a decade? No, it's got to be one trade a year.
One trade a year.
That's too much.
You get in.
But I get to make.
You
one
get to make one draft
decade.
Pick a year, and then a trade a decade, and it could be any trade you want. Like you could give up Aaron Judge for like an Aussie Albies.
We'll do like Garrett Cole for like a double A second baseman.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, knowing the Braves, though, y'all, that double-A second baseman would probably just turn into a Hall of Famer.
Or you can, you have to say, hey, my kid, has to be on your team. Like, when the time comes, my kid, you got to draft him.
Hey, Sam, is Matthew still there?
Matthew is still there.
I just saw your text like a minute ago. So sorry, Matthew. We've just been rambling about baseball. I didn't know you've been waiting on the line. So we'll catch a break, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll go to the Big Orange Philly phone lines and Matthew. Back here on the Blitz, and we're going to head over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines where we will take a call from Matthew. Hey, Matthew, how you doing today?
Oh, I have not been looking forward to this call all week.
I was wondering where you've been. I mean, hey, it's,
you know,
takes a special team to beat the Tennessee Titans. Not everyone can do it. Apparently, you just have to be from the state of New York.
Yeah, I think it's convenient. I had 2 days of back-to-back meetings all day, so I've been, you know, soaking it in, just sitting on this, and you know, Sam, Andy, Charlie, you guys know how much I loathe the Titans entirely, but I have to give credit where credit is due. And Ryan Tannehill, he won y'all that game. Like, he did what he needed to do. Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry. The only thing I'll say is you guys need to get rid of Todd Downing. That's just my humble opinion.
It's all of our humble and unhumble opinions that Todd Downing's got to go.
Yeah, and from I know this is a Tennessee Vol Titans, you know, radio show, but we're going to talk a little fantasy football here. It's time, guys. If you have Kyle Pitts on your roster, sell. Do not buy. I have him in two leagues, and I literally lost this week by 5 points. If he had just, you know, caught one single reception for more than 20 yards, I would have won my league. He's been abysmal. I don't know about you guys, what you're doing in your fantasy leagues, but it's just been abysmal for me with Kyle Pitts.
Near and dear to my heart.
You want to know what I'm doing in my fantasy leagues, Matthew? I'm starting off 0-8. Right? And then I'm trading half of my team away. And
did you get a deal?
I don't even know what I did.
Okay.
But it was a mistake. I traded Aaron Rodgers, Michael Thomas, Pat Freiermuth, Jonathan Taylor, and Jahan Dotson, right? And I got Cooper Kupp, Kyle Pitts, Carson Wentz, the Dolphins defense, and like a depth receiver.
Gosh.
Because I was 0-8. Had to try something.
It's a long year. I'm 0-4 in one of my fraternity leagues, and it's just abysmal. At this point, I had Trey Lance as my starting quarterback done. Jerry Jeudy was my wide receiver, inconsistent. Dalvin Cook's my running back. I'm basically going to change my team name to just team injury prone at this point.
I don't know, but I do want to ask you this. As a Colts fan, I'll make you think about the Colts again. Are you guys, like, tired of Frank Reich yet? I feel like everyone nationally loves him, and I feel like if I was a Colts fan, I'd be pretty pissed off by now.
Oh, no. Let's dive into this, and I know there's only so many minutes I can talk because you guys have more to talk about, but really, as a Colts fan, the entire Colts fans I've even spoke with that are from Indiana, that are as diehard as I am, we're done with Frank Reich. It's not a known secret. If he does not get us into the playoffs this year, which it's very unlikely he's getting us into the playoffs at this point, he's done. And it's gotten so bad up in Indy right now, gentlemen, that the golden child himself, Chris Ballard, is on the hot seat. I mean, if you look at the roster across the board, and this is what really makes me mad because I think you and I, Charlie, can get along here. Jonathan Taylor is the second best back in the National Football League. Like, Jonathan Taylor is the second best back. I don't care. Like, I know Derrick Henry's, you know, a better back, but, like, that offensive line is one of the highest-paid offensive lines. And when Anthony Costanzo, our left tackle, retired, I think it went from, like, fourth to, like, 24th. It's abysmal. It's one of the worst offensive lines in the National Football League. It makes Joe Burrow's offensive line look like progressive. It's, like, it protects him completely much differently. It's the receiving core itself. I mean, outside of Michael Pittman Jr., it's a barrel of misfit toys. Paris Campbell has been a bust and has not been able to stay healthy. I hate to say it, and I Frank Wright and the Colts, the only reason he took the job, and this is why I hate the Raiders so much, is Josh McDaniels. If we look back when Andrew Luck retired, I know a Colts fan that we love to like lean on, oh, Andrew Luck retired, that's why we're doing all these quarterback carousels. Josh McDaniels turned the job down because he knew that the Colts were lying about Andrew Luck's shoulder. Like, I think I've done enough research, I've talked to enough people that Andrew Luck, when he retired, Josh McDaniels was like, I'm out, I'm not taking this job. And so we got in Frank Wright, who was not even our second choice. I mean, he was probably our third choice. And we went with him, and outside of the Philadelphia Super Bowl run, I mean, he's not really produced anything. I mean, we've started off slow the entire way across the board. And I think at this point, if the Colts don't make the playoffs, you're going to see Frank Wright will be out, gentlemen, and possibly even Chris Ballard. And I know that makes you giddy. I know you love that, Charlie.
I don't. I love this whole facade that we just continue to carry on, that like Frank Wright and Chris Ballard are somehow this power couple of the NFL that makes all these incredibly smooth roster moves, and you know they own the AFC South every year. I love that we have that narrative while we can just actually win the AFC South and let you guys fumble the bag year after year. I mean, you saw Nyheim Hines after the game. He even verbalized it. He was like, it's pretty difficult when you're learning and you're starting from scratch with a new quarterback every single season. But
yeah,
I don't kid yourself. You guys are probably just going to move on from Matt Ryan this offseason and get like, I don't even know who the next aging mediocre quarterback is.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G's too young. Jimmy G. It might be like maybe like a Kirk Cousins. Or Kirk Cousins might be too good.
Oh, Kirk's locked into Minnesota.
Yeah, they'll figure out a way.
Here's a name, and I'll hang up on this name. But guys, let's not joke about it. Cooper Rush is killing it in Dallas. I know it's easy to say draft a quarterback, but outside of Bryce Young, who is really somebody that you're like, wow, I really wish the Titans had a high pick? I know y'all have Malik Willis in the backfield right now, but
CJ Stroud.
The Colts, CJ Stroud, the problem is I don't think I see enough competition to really say, because I know we're Tennessee fans and we love the SEC, quote unquote, you know, it means more. But at the end of the day, I like CJ Stroud in college, but just like our history of Florida, what has a Ohio State quarterback done in the NFL?
I've never liked an Ohio State quarterback prospect, but I like CJ Stroud a lot. This is the first one that I've actually found myself liking. I don't like Bryce Young at all, though. I wouldn't even draft Bryce Young in the first round.
Oh, Bryce Young reminds me of a younger Russell Wilson. But hey, I'm going to hang up, guys. Let's y'all.
5'8". I think that we actually do need to talk about that at some point, maybe next week. Matthew, we appreciate you calling in, of course, as always. Have a great rest of your day. But we might need to, like, do a blitz investigation next week into Bryce Young's height.
I don't think he's that small.
He's 5'8".
No, there's no investigation to be had. He's listed at 5'10". If you're listed at 5'10", you're,
they couldn't even give you 5'11".
Yeah.
No, he's listed at 6 feet.
Depends on who you ask.
When I looked it up,
Alabama has him
at
6 feet.
Well, I think
they might have bumped that number up.
I think Nick Saban heard us talking.
We were in a group chat that had a conversation about the fact that he was listed at 5'10", like with screenshots.
On Alabama's website, he's 6'1", 194.
He might be 5'9". Like we're gonna figure out how tall Bryce Young is, but he might be 5'9". But
he was listed as 5'11 as a recruit.
Do we think C.J. Stroud's actually 6'3"?
No, but who cares if he's 6'2 or 6'3"? 5'10 is, like, way too small to play quarterback.
I don't know. We're seeing it more and more.
Not really.
Kyler, Russell, Drew Brees,
Tua. I don't like Bryce Young at all. There's nothing you can do.
I'm definitely Bryce Young.
Draft Bryce Young.
Bryce Young
round.
Is greater than C.J. Stroud.
I think 100%. That C.J. Stroud makes omissions that are better than Bryce Young.
I'm definitely a Bryce Young over CJ Stroud guy for sure. I could see Bryce Young being in a Seahawks uniform.
I could see Bryce Young struggling mightily in the NFL and being a backup quarterback in 3 years.
I hope not. I kind of hope he does. I do like Bryce Young.
I don't. Plays quarterback for Alabama.
I can tell. Yeah.
But he did say Ryan Tannehill won the game. He played winning football, I guess. But the one thing that's been bothering me about Ryan Tannehill this year, starting to see a little bit as I'm going back and watching these games, he's playing a little scared. He is taking checkdowns before pockets collapse at times, and even like taking checkdowns when it looks like guys are running open down the field at times. So I would like to see him uncork things a little bit more.
Cooper Rush or Ryan Tannehill?
Cooper Rush.
Yep. Obviously Cooper
Rush.
Yeah.
The GOAT?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Cooper Rush.
I agree with you, though, Trey. I think he does look a little scared. He's got a little, like, Bengals PTSD, I think. I think he's a little scared to, like, throw it into some windows that are tight.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not uncorking it. And that was, like, one of his – I think one of our biggest compliments when he first took over was, hey, he can – he can
– he fits it into tight windows.
Throw people open sometimes. Yeah. He understands what open in the NFL is, and he's not scared to do it. Saw this today, though, Andy. Since taking over as the Titans starter in Week 7 of 2019, Ryan Tannehill, 32 wins, tied for the fourth most in the NFL, and he has as many as Tom Brady over that same span. So maybe Ryan Tannehill is just the GOAT.
No, I was a huge proponent of Ryan Tannehill in 2019, like to the point where, where Titans fans were still, we're on the Mariota train. I was like, nah, it's Ryan Tannehill. And it was.
I was very much on the Mariota train.
Yeah.
I still think if he didn't break his leg against the Jacksonville Jaguars in like week 16, week 17, whatever year that was, that all we had to do was beat the Jags on the road to go to the playoffs, and instead he broke his leg. If that wouldn't have happened, I fully think he would have panned out significantly better.
Yeah.
But I think the Titans kind of broke him, honestly. I think sometimes you just see quarterbacks get broken. Like maybe the Jets broke Sam Darnold a little bit. I think the Titans broke. I think the Titans broke Mariota.
I don't know. He doesn't look great with the Falcons either.
But yeah, because we already broke him.
He's broke.
Between like his mysterious elbow injury that no one's ever heard of before, that just like made him not be able to feel, and his broken leg, and then like everything else that happened to him. Like I think that and all the different coordinators we gave him. Just all melted into a delicious stew of, like, you're not going to work out. I don't know. Maybe it's just me still trying to be a little hopeful. Anyway, hour one done. Hour two on deck. Stay with us here on The Blitz.